Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends and my family. It's good to have you with us tonight. It is 7 July 2026, and time just goes speeding right on down the road. And that's a fact, folks. Maybe because I'm getting older, but I think everybody can see this. It seems like the days are getting shorter, the months are getting shorter, and time is going by really quickly. There's so much happening in the world today, not just in America, but in the world. So much uprisings and chaos, and that's a fact, and it just breaks my heart to see it. And I'm sure behind the scenes somewhere there's a lot of good things happening too, and we know that's true because there's some godly people out there that are trying to do something to make a difference. But a world is going into utter chaos, and that's just all there is to it. And tonight's guest we're going to talk to, we've had one in the past, I think a couple of times. I don't remember for sure. His name is Alan Hahn. Has started a school, if you will. Something he calls the Iron Academy. I-R-O-N, for those who don't pronounce iron right. But anyway, the Iron Academy. And his goal is to teach and educate young men, boys, and how to be Christian men. Not just, we'll say, good people or kind people. That's all part of it. But to be men, as the Bible tells in 1 Corinthians 6:13, to quit ye like men, act like men. And that's what next weekend's conference about in Western West Virginia, 17th and 18th, that my son is sponsoring, is all about. Anybody like to join and come to that conference? I wish you would, folks. You love it. Friday evening and all day Saturday. Any questions, call our office and I'll answer them for you. Call 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And I'll get back with you. You can call me Thursday in the office. I'll tell you all about it. It's going to be a great time. I intend on being there with my youngest son. And the goal is at the conference also is to teach men, young men, all men, how to be real men in Christ. And Alan Hahn has took that challenge on literally. And he has started, as I said, an academy, the Iron Academy, trying his best to educate young men on how to be true men. Not necessarily masculine in the sense that they walk around with muscles bulging and no, that's great. But that doesn't make you a man. It makes you maybe a strong male, but not a man. Man is what's on the inside. It's a character. It's what makes the individual someone that the world needs in this day and time. Men of iron. And are you there, Alan?
Yes, sir. thank you for having me, Pastor.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's good to have you, and I sincerely mean that. I mean, what you have taken on is a big job. And God knows we need your type of teaching in every public school and private school in America. But sadly, it's not there. Unfortunately, and disgracefully so, especially the public schools are not teaching young men how to be men. At best, they're teaching them how to be wussies. And that's a fact. And maybe teaching how to be sissies. And that's also a fact. So, Alan, you've taken on a huge, huge calling. Now, for those who are listening for the first time, tell the people who you are and how you got involved in this and why you got involved in it.
Okay, I'll be glad to do that. So my name is Alan Hahn. I am a teacher by profession after being in corporate America for a while. I was in corporate America and realized that I really didn't know anything, and eventually started reading history and philosophy and the classics of literature, and decided I wanted to go into education. And I didn't want young people to make the same mistakes that I made. And after that, I got saved by Jesus Christ while I was working in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. I left the Federal Bureau of Prisons so that I could teach in a Christian school. And even as an infant Christian, I noticed pretty quickly that we were graduating boys from this really large and well-respected Christian school. But it wasn't just that school. It's pretty much every school I've ever seen, they're graduating boys. Most colleges are graduating boys. And unfortunately, most women are marrying boys, hoping they'll become men soon. And none of that should be true. So I can tell you, Pastor, that there is one thing in my entire life that I can say unequivocally that God told me to do, and that was to start Iron Academy. And before I take any credit for that, I do think it's part of God's sense of humor that he would have somebody like Alan Hahn start a school for biblical manhood. But if it's one thing I've got, I will be obedient. And so he got an obedient man, and I said yes. And we started it 14 years ago now, and God has continued to sharpen me. That's where the name of the school came from. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And it's been the most refining thing that I've ever done in my life, and it's made me a much better man. But we continue to learn what it means, how to build godly young men. And we are radically committed to building future-ready men of God. And one of the things that said in your intro is we are warriors. We just have to choose the side to fight. But there was a quote that I read from 1877 from J.C. Ryle. He was an Anglican pastor in England, and he was disgusted with the male passivity in his congregation. And he wrote this book called Holiness, and he's got this chapter called Fight, and he has this quote that says, as Christians, we must know that we are men of war. If we would pursue true holiness, we must fight. And that idea of fighting is so important because the passivity of the American male has been what's hurt us. And we've got to reclaim that.
It's so important, but it's so dismissed and forgotten today. It's now scoffed. If you're scorned, if you try to be a man, you're a male chauvinist. But anyway, go ahead, finish your comments.
No, I agree with you, and that's what we're trying to do. Our goal, and you might have asked me 14 years ago, what kind of young men are we going to graduate at 18 years old? And maybe I would have had the idea that we're going to graduate fully formed men, but that is definitely not what we do. But we do graduate young men who know what it means to be a man. They know who they are in Jesus Christ, and they know what the Lord says is good versus what says is bad. And they're going to mess up, and they do mess up, but they know where to come back from. Yes. So we need to learn how to fight to pursue righteousness. But when we do mess up, how to repent and how to return quickly to the Lord. And I think that's probably what we're doing pretty well. Obviously imperfectly, but to the best of our ability. I'm learning so much. Every year we learn more. even science is revealing so much about biblical truth and how God designed our brains for spiritual formation or malformation. And we're seeing this in the world. The prognosis for the world is not good, but we know what eventually happens. I'm not even optimistic about the near future, but I'm really excited about it. I have to believe that our students were built for just such a time for this. In fact, I have to believe that I was made for just such a time as this to help these young guys get ready. I mean, so when I was 18, I wanted to fight. I wanted to join the military. I wanted to do something manly, right? This was before I was a Christian. I wasn't able to. I have asthma. I tried to find ways to sneak around it. There was no way around it. Can't do it. But I will tell you that I feel like I am in the real fight today as much as I ever could have been if I had been in Afghanistan or Iraq. And not to disparage either one of those. I'm not disparaging anybody's service, but I feel like I am fighting for the kingdom right now in such a powerful and bold way. I've never felt more alive.
Praise God. And that is wonderful. I mean, that is remarkable. And I agree. I'm convinced you're also called for such a time as this. You know, and I keep forgetting who said this, but somebody once said, duty is ours, consequences are God's. You're producing men to go out into the world. Whether we turn the tide of battle now or not, that's in our Father's hand. Our job is to obey Him. And He's the one who determined the outcome. That's all what it's all about. As long as we're walking in Him, we're secure in Him, we try to follow Him, we're doing His will, our future is secure with Him. We don't need to worry about the future. Just do His will. He'll take care of the rest of it. That's His promise to us, brother. And I admire you for this. And you've been doing this how long now?
14 years. I've gotten 28 years older in those 14 years. It has aged me, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
I can understand that. I can. I mean, really, I can. I've been doing this radio show going on 34 years, so I understand that. So when you first started, was it hard to get started? Did people oppose you or help you? Did parents back you? What happened?
It was not easy, that's for sure. But if you can imagine 14 years ago, what was that, towards the end of the first Obama administration or towards the end of his first administration,
right.
We could see how fast the world was changing. We could, with the beginnings of the LGBTQ movement, all the wokeism and those kind of things. So there was some reaction to that allowed us to start, but, to learn how to do this, I didn't come in as a fully formed man either, nor am I yet. But learning how to do this, it took a while. It's been a really difficult thing, and there were people who opposed us, even Christians who said, no, let the start a charter school or start this, start a government school, and they didn't quite get it. But I will say 100% of the time, God's people who got it supported us, funded it, and made it happen. We have to raise a good deal of money every year to make it happen. But the people who do get it, they want to make this happen, and they give us money to make it happen, and we try to be the best stewards of that money we can. So, no, it's never been easy, but I don't think God would want it to be easy. But, well, just like sharpening something, when you sharpen a piece of metal, that comes through friction and removing metal. It's a painful process if the metal could. So I guess we definitely wanted to sharpen these young men, and we have. But what I didn't recognize at first, Pastor, was that I was the dullest instrument in the drawer, and a lot of this sharpening has happened to me. So it's been good for me, I will say.
Well, iron sharpeneth iron. So, yes, that makes sense. And the more you desire and struggle to learn of Christ and serve Christ, the more blessings He gives you. I'm not talking about airplanes and cars. I'm talking about blessings in your heart and mind and soul, that you're doing His will, and your future secure in Him. And His grace is sufficient, Brother Allen, so when we do mess up, he's there to help us get back on track and forgive us when we mess up, even we do it intentionally. You know, I was raised by a decent daddy. I really was. I was blessed to have a good daddy. And I remember he actually took about me and my brother three times in our lifetime. And we deserved every one of those. Well, I mean, he, you know, he didn't kick us out of the family, but he tanned or hide. And sometimes the Heavenly Father will chastise his own too, won't he?
Yes. Yes. I mean,
he'll do that.
And yes.
And chastisement is not pleasurable, but it's needed. Go ahead.
One of the things I pray almost every morning as I begin my quiet time in the Bible every morning, I pray through Psalm 23, and I do it in a way that I call transformative prayer, but I thank God for who he is. I ask him to keep being that, and then I ask him to transform me. I don't think there's any clearer passage in the entire Bible of what it means to be a man. But regarding that specific thing, in Psalm 23, he says, David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Absolutely.
And the traditional staff was what the shepherd would use to protect the sheep, to pull it out of a ditch, to guide it, to direct it another direction. But the rod was more offensive. It could be used for defense. It could be used to kill. And I thank God that I do take comfort in his guidance. I do take comfort in his correction. And then I pray that he will continue to mold me into the man for whom the people within my domains of influence can take comfort in my guidance, in my protection, and even in my correction. And so I'm not praying for them to change. I'm praying for him to change me. That's been one of those transformative things in my life that I see him doing that. I'm by no means a finished product, but I see him working in that direction.
Well, we'll never be a finished product until we stand in front of him in our new bodies. That's going to be a finished product. Praise God for that. Eternal life, and that's going to be wonderful. But until then, we're going to go through ups and downs. That's, I mean, all his people did, David and Paul and all of them did. They all had what's called bad days and bad nights. But we live in a world that opposes his will. The nature of man is to turn against God, and he has. That's why today we need men who are not afraid to stand up against evil. You know, I'm going to do a teaching sometime. I did on the radio a couple weeks ago. I'm going to do it one time in church. The difference between being nice and kind is a big difference. And most people don't know this, but the old English word for kind, it meant stupid. Now, I'm not making it up. Check it out for yourself. But kindness can be a fake facade to get along with somebody, not hurt feelings or whatever it has to be, you know, keep your friends. Niceness. Niceness can be a fake facade. Kindness, it's like Christ was kind, but he told the truth. And he did it mostly in love, but nonetheless, he told the truth, no matter who defended. That's what a kind man does. He'll help somebody by telling the truth and do what's necessary to get them back on the right track and bring them at a better walk with Christ. But a nice man sometimes will compromise because he don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. There's a big difference, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Big difference.
People deserve to hear the truth from us. I think that is part of speaking truth in love. Glossing over things is not kind. It can be nice, like you said, but it's not iron sharpening iron. And so we're learning better ways to sharpen one another, how to hold one another accountable. Since we last talked, I've begun a year-long course in neuropsychology and neurotheology. Goes back to, we are learning so much about how God designed our brains to grow. And the four things that we're finding that are necessary, you have to have joy. And the research around joy is remarkable. You have to have community, which is something we've lost since the first iPhone came out, since COVID. And now that we've got AI becoming more dominant, we're losing a lot of community. You have to have accountability, and you have to do that correctly. But the fourth thing is identity. And the way I see our world working right now is it's giving not just our young people, but I see a lot of older people who are immersed in their smartphones and in digital worlds. It's changing their identity.
Yes.
And Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I've always wondered what he meant there by renewing. But if we look at how God designed us, how he implanted who we are in our very DNA, well, he didn't mess up. He didn't mess up Butch Paul. He didn't mess up Alan Hahn. But neither one of us turned out perfectly. So how do we reconcile that? Well, sin marred us. But when we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, he begins that transformation process where we begin to be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Amen.
So one of the things that we've been focused on at school is making sure that we bring our guys back into their God-given identities instead of the world-given identities.
And, you know, that is really a great weakness of all people, but especially teenagers. They want to blend in. They don't want to be different. They want to fit into the crowd. And we all did that. We all been had that problem.
Mm-hmm.
They want to peers to like them. They don't want to be stuck, you know, stand out in the crowd necessarily. They say they want to be different, but they all want to dress like, look alike, do the same thing. They want to go along, get along because they want their friends to like them. That's nature of man. There's not necessarily something wrong with that unless that what they want you to do is immoral or against God's word. Then you can't go along with that. And what you're trying to do, I assume, is what you're doing now. I'm sure you are. Is to teach young men how to walk in righteousness no matter who opposes them. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We absolutely want them to know what God says is good versus what God says is bad. We want them to know how to live God-honoring lives because contrary to what the world is teaching, I hear this all the time out in the world, you do you. And that's really, fair advice for a non-believer. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, those words should never come out of your mouth because that makes no sense. But what does make sense, and this is the paradox that Jesus gives us, is the more we submit ourselves to him, one, we glorify him, but two, we get to become more and more and more of what we were created to be. And I think as humans, whether we can express this individually or not, we really do want to be, we want to live a life that is in accord with how we were created, even if we don't always understand it. And when we don't have that, then we have what you would call cognitive dissonance. There's a disconnect. There's a glitch in the matrix, so to speak. And God provides a way for us to submit our will to his and for us to claim true joy. So we have the best of all worlds. And we just got to keep finding ways to share the truth with people because they desperately want it, whether they know it or not.
Well, and that's a key. People go through their whole life and they struggle trying to decide who they are, what's supposed to do. They're trying to find who God really is and which God they should serve and all the other questions. And the answer is not complicated, but because of the way our society is teaching us and the way we've been brought up, it complicates young people's minds so much that they don't know which way to turn. Even sometimes if their parents are Christians, they're influenced much by lukewarm churches, perhaps, and public fool system, that they don't know where to go. And you've seen that, obviously. That's why you have the Arn Academy. And you're doing your best now to get those people out of that situation and into something they can grow in. And no, they won't be perfect. They'll make mistakes. And it's not good to make mistakes, but we all do it. The thing is, we must move on and ask forgiveness to get up, dust yourself off, and go on down the road. And one thing I learned too, Brother Alan, we have to learn to forgive ourselves also.
Yes, yes. we are not perfect, and any sense of perfection or perfectionism, I think, starts to look more like a works mentality. So I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, we have to learn to forgive ourselves. I have done and still do some very stupid things from time to time. I don't want to. But sometimes, as Paul wrote in Romans 6, I snare myself right into them. So no excuse, but I appreciate what you're doing and what you're trying to do with these young men and trying to teach them. Now, give us some instances of who have come into your school and what changes you've seen in them. Just give a couple of instances on that.
Okay. Well, so I will tell your listeners, and I think they'll be heartened by this, not discouraged, but if we're going to have a school for biblical manhood, of course we have to have young men who profess the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because you can't do biblical manhood without that. But I think as important and part of our application process, we can't do this for parents. We must do this with parents. And parents, maybe they could be successful on their own in this world, but it would be very difficult. If the parents have a Bible-believing church in a Bible-believing church community, they have a much better chance of success. But if they can have that three-legged stool and have the school with them, because the truth is, a school gets the kids, unless you're homeschooled, definitely more time than even the parents get. So when we begin this walk with our young men, we do it from the perspective that we are the ally of a radically intentional Christian family. We're not doing it for them. We're not doing anything contrary to what they're doing at home. We're doing it with them. Now, I would say we have developed an expertise to do it very well, and we can support that family very well. But what we have seen is guys who, and so a sixth grader comes to us, and they believe everything that their parents have told them. They believe everything their church has told them. They love their teachers. But at one point, they're going to get to eighth grade. And sometime around eighth grade, they start to push away mom. They start to push away dad. They start to find fault in their teachers. They start to question their faith. They are at once full of arrogance, and they are also completely void of self-confidence. They think they're worthless. They are a mess, probably our low point as human beings. So we probably spend more time with our eighth graders than any other group. We really pour into them. And then by the time they come back in ninth grade, they're ready to start making things better. They're ready to start own their faith in significant ways and practice it. And then by the time that they're graduating, again, they're not fully formed men, but they know what it means to be a godly man. They know where to come back to. They're going to face a lot of pressures. You know, most of our guys go off to college. They're going to face some intense pressures in college. They're going to face sexual pressures, cultural pressures, pornography, drugs. They're going to face a lot of those things. But they just have to know where to come back to, or how to fight against it from the very beginning, where to set those boundaries. But they also, we have to really train them well in science. And I think this is something our churches haven't done really well, is we have a reason for what we believe. And our Christianity stands up very well with modern science. It seemed like in the 80s and 90s, much of scientific discovery seemed to be going against the Christian faith. But as we learn more and more,
it is turning around, yes. But we got to go to break.
Finding out that it supports us.
Hang on through the break. We'll go back to this, folks. Phone lines open, 717-300-1698. I am enjoying this conversation. I got the break.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406 274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E. T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
This is war.
Brother, hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we are back for talking again to a gentleman I really enjoyed talking to. His name is Alan Hahn. Now, he and my middle son just got to be acquainted not too long ago on the phone, discuss some things. And my son likes a pastor that speaks sometimes at Alan's church. His name is Joby Martin, and I think he's in Florida. And Alan has taken on a chore that I admire him for, because it must take a lot of patience, a lot of effort to educate young boys, young men, on how to be true men, how to serve Christ with a honest heart and be willing to stand for the truth against everybody else that's going to oppose them. And that is hard, folks. That's hard for adults. I can't imagine for eighth graders and ninth graders, 10th graders living in a peer group that we see today. That's got to be extra hard. And I admire this man trying to teach them this kind of character at that age and even younger. But now, Alan, you've been doing this now, you said, for 12 years. Is that right?
This will be our 14th year.
Oh, 14th year. Okay. And you see, you have, I think you have 15 young men per class, and you have classes 6 through 12. That's also right, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you've had several graduate your school now, obviously, have you not?
Yes, we have, I believe, 6 classes.
And what results have you seen in those young men who went out into the world to further education or to pick up a career? Have you even gotten back with you and shared their testimonies?
Oh, yes, sir. I will say this is probably one of the more remarkable things about our graduates. Having worked in Christian schools, and I think your listeners could probably testify to this, that roughly half of graduates from Christian schools go off and they reject Christ, they reject the church. Some of them eventually come back, thankfully. But what we have found is that of our 6 graduating classes, starting in 2026. So I guess that means we've had 7 graduating classes since 2020. We have had, I know of one young man who is not currently following the Lord. I keep in contact with all our graduates, and I think that's a pretty remarkable statistic. But before anybody gives us credit for that, I think I'll explain why I believe that's true. And because Iron Academy is a difficult place to be. Biblical manhood is a hard thing. It's a weighty thing. It's a calling. And it's definitely not the easy road. So the students who actually make it through and choose to graduate from Iron Academy, they graduate from there because they have chosen to do something very difficult. So when they get out into the real world, it's not a stretch for them to continue following the Lord. So we give them a background where we're asking a lot of them. It's not an easy place to be, but if you choose it, it makes it easier to choose it for the rest of your life. So I think that's why we've been successful there.
Wow. I mean, I'm in awe of what you're doing. Sometimes I have a hard time thinking of even what to add to that. I mean, you made a statement that it's hard for young men to become Christian men.
Yeah.
It is. It's hard enough just to grow up to be a man, period. But to stand for something that you know is biblically sound when most of the people around you are saying you're a bigot, you're a hater, or whatever it may be, that takes real courage.
Yeah.
It takes real courage.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been called medieval. We've been called woman haters. I love the medieval one. Oh, yes. But here's what I would say to that. And this, you know, the people who call us that, they don't need to hear this. But I would say that when there's a lack of biblical manhood, women and children suffer the most. But when we do have biblical manhood, everybody wins. You don't even have to believe in it. Everybody wins. If we are being the men that God called us to be, we know how to love people well. We know how to love the Lord well. We treat one another well. We learn how to shepherd other people. Everybody wins. And so if they call us medieval, so be it. We definitely don't hate women. We should be the very best in the world at treating women well. In fact, there's some scientific research that bears this out. They did some long-term studies, and they did something called a meta-analysis. Meta-analysis means they studied a bunch of studies to see what the studies were saying. And they looked at evangelical men, and they said, all right, what does it mean to be an evangelical man? What would an evangelical man do? Well, he would pray with his wife. He would treat his kids well. He would spend extra time with them. And what they found was men who prayed with their wives every night or every day were the least likely demographic in the entire United States to get a divorce, to mistreat their wife, to abuse their wife, and they were most likely to spend the most time, quality time with their kids. And so God has a formula for us, and if we follow it, by submitting ourselves to Him, there should be no argument against how we treat women. We should be the very best at that.
Well, a real Christian man who loves his wife as he should, as Christ loves the church, pretty much puts them on a pedestal and spoils them. I know that I have tried to do it to mine, and I've been blessed so much. And my wife and I've been a pastor now for 50 years. Preaching 50 years, a pastor of most of those years. I've talked to a lot of ladies who wanted to just share their lives and ask questions. And my wife and I both would talk to them. They just said they wanted so much to have a man that will take care of them that they can trust. Women might rebel at the idea of a man being ahead of the house. But deep down inside, they want a man that they know they can trust, lean on, feel safe around, and that will provide for them and protect them. And that's what a woman's supposed to do. They're a helpmeet. And that doesn't make them weak. Although the Bible says they're weaker sex, but that's not a put down. That's just the way it is. They are a helpmeet. And I want to tell you this right now, Alan. I've been married almost 55 years. And many things I've been called to do, I would have had a really hard time doing if my wife hadn't stood beside me. She may not have understood why I was doing it. She may not have understood why I was doing it. She may be a little bit frightened because of something new. But she's always stood beside me. She didn't question me to the point or try to discourage me. She said, you do what you have to do, what you think's right, and I'll have faith in you that you'll do it, and I'll follow you. And she did that. And I can say this ministry succeeded a lot because of what she has stood, has been through and stood beside me. Believe me, wives get attacked just like the husbands do when they're taking a stand for the truth. You know that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's funny because I have a daughter. I have a son, too. But my daughter, she grew up and she went to a Christian school and she had this idea. She rejected entirely this notion that she's going to marry somebody who's going to be a spiritual leader. She said, I don't need that. And part of me wants to correct her. And part of me is very happy that she doesn't want that because I don't want her to fall victim to a man. But we prayed for her husband for 25 years. She got married last November and she married a young man who is now the spiritual leader of her home. And she loves that. And I'm so happy for her. I want her to be a strong woman, but I also want her to marry a strong man. And I am so grateful that my son-in-law is exactly that. And he can step up and he has been the spiritual leader. That's a comfort to her. It strengthens her. And she's still a strong, powerful woman. That doesn't take anything at all.
No, it does not. It does not. Matter of fact, it's a comfort to the whole family, especially the children, if they have any. It's a comfort. But no, a woman who stands by her man in Christ is a strong pillar of the whole family. I mean, don't ever think that somebody is weak or a woman is weak because she's following her man's direction and wanting him to lead. No, no, no. A woman who will back a godly man is a godly woman. And that takes backbone that most women just don't have. I'm telling like it is. And so I admire that. And folks, the phone line's open. Like I said, if you have any comments to share, we'd love to hear from you. 717-300-1698. We would like to hear from you. We're here because you're out there. So anything you want to add, do it. 717-300-1698. So, Alan, you've been doing this now for 14 years. You've seen the results, and I'm sure in a lot of young men's lives. What are your goals for the future?
So, Pastor, I see artificial intelligence. I think it's going to change everything.
Yes, it is.
It's going to put a lot of pressure on education, but more importantly, it's going to change how we are formed. And I won't say this is unique, but it could be. All right, so I'm not predicting the end times. I'll just get that out front. However, it certainly seems like we are getting to a point where there are two obvious outcomes. And our goal is a school, more than ever, something we're radically committed to for this next year and forever, is to build future-ready men of God. And if the only outcome that we had was our graduates found their identities entirely in the person of Jesus Christ, then they win. But I see the vast majority of the people, young people and old, especially as we enter a digitally dominated AI-crafted world, that instead of finding our identity in Jesus Christ, they will find their identity in that AI-dominant, digitally mastered world. And so we are on the precipice of people putting chips in their body or wearing devices that connect AI to them.
That's already happening. That's already happening.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
And so this is very much about our identities. And as Christians, as parents, we as a pastor, we are all in the spiritual formation business. First and foremost, education is very important. We do exceedingly well in education. But if we don't win the front for identity in Jesus Christ, we lose everything. And that's really where we're focused. If we could only be good in one thing, it would have to be that. And so we're getting better at that every year. And as Christians, as churches, as parents, we must focus on the spiritual formation. We lose that. I'm sure there are people in your audience who think, I wouldn't want my kid to go Harvard, but we use Harvard as a standard. You can get your kid into Harvard, but if he's lost his soul, what good is Harvard?
I agree.
Yeah.
Education, especially a secular education day, is the most destructive thing that you can do to your child.
Yeah.
Period. The public school system. Yeah, the public school system is something no Christian should send their children to. Period. I'm not gonna apologize for that. It's true. I don't care. There are no excuses. If you can't afford to take care of them, you shouldn't have had them. Get another job. Do what you gotta do. That's your duty as a Christian parent, is to make sure your children are taught to fear the Lord and reared in a home and a educational system that teaches them how to serve Christ and why they serve Christ, so they can learn who they are in Christ before it's too late. And I do believe, brother, that we're seeing a lot of things happen now that has got me very concerned that many children have become so brainwashed and deceived by the world system that I'm afraid for their eternal souls. And I'm serious about that because they become so wrapped up in the world, in the world system. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will work with them until it gets through to them. But I'm seeing so much that's breaking my heart and concerning me because of lack of godly influence in our young people's lives. Now, that's a fact.
Yes. We seem to be passing down generation from generation of milk drinkers. And if we're milk drinkers from generation to generation, we're just infants in Christ. And that doesn't pass along a true faith, and it doesn't pass along a biblical worldview. We've got a lot of work to do, but that goes back to that warrior mentality. We're either fighting for the kingdom or we're fighting against the kingdom.
There are no in-between ground. There is no in-between ground. You cannot straddle the fence and serve Christ. Let's talk to Jim in Georgia. Jim, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Butch?
I'm doing well, sir. How you doing, and how's your pretty half doing?
I've always been falling. Just had three falls in the last 5 days. And it's not good.
No, it's not.
But her brother came to see her. was visiting with her the last 3 days. And he didn't recognize her. He didn't think it was as bad as I told him it was. But he's a believer now.
Oh, my.
I've been listening to this conversation for about 35 minutes. And I'll tell you. As far as something that's very troubling to me, my wife and I had a rather rocky marriage. We were two messed up, broken people that had a lot of issues, still have a lot of issues, got together, and it was kind of a recipe for disaster. But we managed to stay together. This September will be 20 years.
Congratulations.
And if you told me tonight that in the millennial kingdom, well, God's got something better for you than marriage. If you told me that he had a 12-room mansion, an indoor Olympic heated pool, an outdoor Olympic heated pool, and a 1,000-yard firing range with a big gun collection because I love to shoot, my own personal jet and all 30 miles from the beach, but I could not have a marriage with my wife, I wouldn't take it.
Okay.
I wouldn't take it.
Any comments
so
on that?
If he's got something other up his in mind other than letting us have these marriages, he needs to rethink that.
Okay. Good comment.
That's
anything you want
to
add to that, Alan? Thank you, Jim.
I deeply value my marriage. I'm so grateful. The biggest thing, I do question my wife's judgment. I'm not sure why she married me.
Yes, I understand that. Go ahead. Yes.
I'm a big fan of marriage. If there's no marriage in heaven, it's because he has something better for us. I don't pretend to know exactly what heaven's like, so I look forward to it. I just know much of what we do here is basically an apprenticeship, a trial for what he's going to entrust us for eternity. And
yes, I'm
hoping we all fare well.
I don't think there'll be marriage in heaven as we know it, but I do know enough to know that my God, my creator, the sovereign creator of all things, has a paradise created for us that will never, ever miss a thing on this earth. Never.
That's right.
And if I didn't believe that, I'd be very discouraged. So I understand what Jim's saying. I can't imagine not having my wife, Marcia Jean, with me. After almost 55 years, Alan, I would be heartbroken. But one day, sooner or later, one of us are going to, I'm 77, she's 71. Soon going to be 78 and 72. One day, one of us is going to be going. There's no way around it. It's going to happen. And it hurts my heart just think about it. But I do believe my God is able, no matter who's left here, to provide what we need to get through to be with him and our loved ones in heaven for eternity, or in his kingdom for eternity. And I just don't understand. You know, I don't know. I cannot answer Jim's question, but I don't. Well, I don't think it'll be the same relationships that we have here, but I do know that him being who he is, it'll be something that we will thoroughly enjoy for eternity, or he wouldn't have it there for us. That's the best I can do. Any comments on that?
The good thing is, it won't matter because it'll be better and we won't miss anything, whatever it is.
Well, he's still going to be God and he's still going to be perfect and his paradise will be perfect for all of us. So I don't
think we can have any clue of how good it's going to be.
No, that's way beyond our human comprehension. I mean, the Bible tells us our mind can conceive what he has in store for us in the future. And we just know that. And folks, again, lines open, 717-300-1698. And I will say this to all the listening men. If you've been blessed with a good wife, enjoy her, love her, spoil her, watch over her, cherish her, and do anything you can to make her life better and easier. I didn't say that. I didn't mean anything that's ungodly. I mean anything that you can provide for her, that you can do that and blessed to have the means to do it so and make her life better. Let her know that you love her, and not just by things you give her, but how you treat her. Hold her hand. I'm going on 55 years, and I still like hold my wife's hand in the car. And I still sometimes sneak over and feel her knee with my hand when I'm driving. Aha, preacher, that's awful. You say whatever you want to say. I've enjoyed it for 70, 55 years, and I ain't going to quit now. So anyway, that's things that people, we can talk about that. Why can't we? God bless us with it. Why can't we talk about it? I don't understand that. I don't get it. Let's talk to Debbie in Illinois. Debbie, come on in. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Pastor Butch, and enjoying the information. I had an interesting education back when I was in my 30s. I'm going to be 74. But I got
You don't sound that. I would have guessed you probably in your 30s. How about that? Go ahead.
God bless you. I got to take a class at a Christian Bible college, and it was teaching how to therapeutically listen. And what it actually taught me was how to critically think. And I found my voice and was able to, you know, do exactly what you're trying to teach the boys, I think, is find their voices. And in this world, and especially with the AI, I thought, oh, my goodness. I didn't even think of that factor. AI is, you know, another voice we have to deal with. So learning how to recognize all the voices and to separate your voice and what's the Lord's voice is a very difficult thing, and it's not taught.
Very true.
In the Christian Bible College, we studied a book, and it's a Skills and Strategy Handbook for Working with People by Robert Martin, and it's a college course. But we were all out of college, you know. But it was a very helpful way of learning how to critically think, and we're not taught that in our education. So,
no, we're not. No, we're not.
We're not.
Yeah.
We don't know how to listen to each other and understand what the voices are saying. And we're following all these different voices and
we are.
trying to help all the voices, and we're all confused.
Well, too many distractions. We have more ways to communicate than ever before in history, and we never communicate. We're in that time so quickly. By the way, Debbie, are you a first-time caller?
No, you've talked to me before.
Well, that's all right.
Yes, you have.
Family.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. You wrote me a letter this week, too. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Well, you're welcome. You're more than welcome. Al, anything you want to say to what Debbie said? We're down about the last minute. You got to hurry.
Okay, well, interpersonal skills are one of those really important things. We've all seen young people whose interpersonal skills have gone down, especially since COVID. But I think that's as one of the things we're focused on as well, is making sure that we know how to love one another, how to speak with one another, how to speak in public, how to look people in the eye. So something very important we must teach our young people, especially in the face of an AI-dominant world that's really going to change the workplace. If we can prepare our young people, not just with the biblical worldview, not just knowing who they are in Christ and their identity, but also the interpersonal skills are extremely important. And as we become shepherds, which is the ultimate model of what we're supposed to become, those interpersonal skills are going to be really important.
Amen. Amen. Communication is vital. That's why we're to pray without ceasing and talk to our Father through Christ and listen to his answers in his word. Anything else, Debbie, you want to say? I think Debbie's going. We're down just about the last 30 seconds. Tell the folks how you can find them more about your school.
Well, we are in Raleigh, North Carolina, and God willing, we'll be in other places. We're learning so much about what he wants out of us and how to help parents build strong young men. But I would ask your listeners to pray for us that we would be as God-honoring an organization as possible, that we would be warriors for his kingdom of Christ, and that they would join us in that battle. I know grandparents are out there. They want this for their grandkids. We cannot get passive. We are in the battle right now. We've got to stay strong.
Amen. And what's your website?
IronAcademy.org. I welcome everybody to come see it. And there's a book out there, The Iron Academy. Look that up on Amazon. It tells everything we do. And frankly, we've had a bunch of churches reading it too. So that's been really good.
Well, if you ever up our way, give us a holler. We get to go and get a hamburger. How's that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Talk to you soon, my friend. God bless.
All right.
Folks,
take care, Pastor.
We'll see you tomorrow night. So have a wonderful night. And let's all stand for the truth. Please, men, be men in Christ. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.